I had mentioned, I think, whenever I first came here, that one of my previous assignments involved being the pastor of Resurrection Parish in Johnstown. I was the first pastor of that parish. Resurrection Parish was the result of having put what was in essence six ethnic parishes within 10 blocks into one. And you can imagine, it was a lot of fun at Resurrection Parish. I had heard so many rumors when I went there, oh, the bishop was going to come and take this. The only reason we're put together is because he wants this. The bishop didn't take anything, including any of the money. It all stayed with the parish. I found out later that was canon law, you know. So the bishop isn't allowed to mess with parish holdings. But parish holdings got to be a big problem because there were lots and lots of them, including at least 21 buildings. So it was a lot of work to try to say, how do we make one relatively moderate-sized parish handle all of this? And we took one of the old buildings and we dubbed it our warehouse. And in our warehouse, we put all sorts of extraneous supplies, especially liturgical supplies, and pots and pans. I never knew that there were so many pots and pans available. And then you'd have the old thing that would start, you'd pick this up, what's that? Well, that's our halupki pan. Well, your halupki pan looks exactly like the pierogi pan. They can't use it. No, you can't use it. It has to be different, you know. So, okay. Among the various liturgical things we picked up, we probably had seven or eight monstrances, some of which were just incredibly beautiful. Probably 50 chalices, just unbelievable amount of stuff. And a lot of it we had to sell, but one of the things I couldn't bear to sell were the beautiful candlesticks that came from so many of the churches. Everybody had put a lot into their own individual parishes, and it seemed so wrong to get rid of everything. And I thought, we got to make room and figure out a way to show each set once in a while. And so I would instruct the sacristans from time to time, go ahead and take that set off of the high altar and put up this set now. The set that always, though, brought the most controversy, I think it came from the Polish parish. I was told by the end of last Mass that that was true by a guy who had gone to the Polish parish, and he said I had it wrong. I thought these candlesticks were about yay high, made out of like solid brass, really, really heavy. But they had these birds at the top of them, and I thought the birds were like eagles, like Polish eagles. They looked ravenously hungry and then very unhappy at anyone who looked at them. He said they weren't eagles, they were falcons. So anyway, these Polish falcons would look at you and they were not happy. And you'd say, people would say, what's the deal with those birds? And I used to quote them, remember what Jesus said. Didn't he say, where the body lies, there the vultures gather? It seemed somehow appropriate for what was going on in Cambria City. Now, to be honest with you, even though I could quote that line, I had no idea what Jesus was talking about. It just sounded cool, so I'd say it. Well, it turned out that very line, where the body lies, there the vultures gather, is the line in Luke's gospel that immediately precedes today's story. So I thought, I'm going to have to learn what that actually means. It turns out, even more surprising, that the meaning of that phrase is positive, not negative. I always thought it was very negative. But what the Lord seems to be saying, because throughout the whole of chapter 17, he's talking about the kingdom in one way or another. But the second half of that chapter, he goes into specific detail about how he is the one who is the Son of Man who will return to establish the kingdom definitively. But every time that there's any sense of that kingdom, there will always be those who flock to it, just like the vultures flock to the carrion. Who are those people? Well, they're the church. And so, my fellow vultures, I welcome you to this opportunity for us to experience the kingdom. Now, as we do experience the kingdom, we have to remember what the Lord said. He, the just judge, the Son of Man, would come definitively to separate good from evil. But he will do this patiently and in his own time. And therefore, he reminds us that we, those vultures who flock to the kingdom, we have to be ready to acknowledge that we will long, as he says, to see one day of the Son of Man, but will not see it. That we will have to be people who wait and wait and wait. And so he tells us, persevere. He reminds us that if an unjust judge can be moved by the persistence of a most neglected widow, how much more will our Heavenly Father be moved by our persistence in prayer? So let's pray that while we're waiting for the Lord Jesus' return, we'll allow God to make our faith grow strong so that when his Son returns, he'll find us, at least, to be people of faith, not just vultures who have come to the kingdom, but poorly used widows who are persistent in our complaint until the just judge finds in our favor.